maybe turn me up just a little bit more. Not quite enough, Brother Phil. Need a little bit higher. Still more. It's not high enough. Test, that's it. That's good. All right, if Brother Tucker was here and y'all wanted to know when church started, he'd say we're already having church. He believed this, when you're having fellowship like this, you're having church. That's part of it, he'd say. I'm going to sit down if y'all don't mind today. I'm still having trouble with my foot. All right, I want everybody to know, see, this is going on tape, so I'm going to tell it, that if Brother Johnny Budd gets up in the meeting and preaches on the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, it's because I went over the whole deal with him and explained every bit of it. So if y'all hear him explain that just like I do, well, you'll know where he got it. Hope you're listening, Brother Bud. I figure he preached it last night in his church. All right, wasn't this a good breakfast? Let's give Aunt Susie a hand. Thank you. Wonder if we're... If it wasn't that I needed, that I knew that they needed her and loved her so bad, we'd capture her and, you know, not let her go back to Oklahoma.
We need to kidnap her.
I've been. Yeah, she's putting in a plug for us to all go see them. We'll have to bring a van load. I've been telling her that for years, so I'm going to have to do something to make it a reality. So, I do appreciate her and love her. She's been a great, great friend of our church for many years. Okay, we finished the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation. Is any, Brother Jerry's here, but he's back there at the ice machine, so we may not have any questions. But if anybody's got any questions... on what we've already went over. Otherwise, this the 10th chapter is the angel put this in here, so it's got to be important. John said, I saw another mighty angel in the first verse of Revelation 10 come down from heaven clothed with a cloud and a rainbow, and upon his head and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Of course, I believe this is Jesus because... it's the same description as in chapter 1, verse 16. I think 13 through 16. Chapter 1. I've got that note beside the scripture. It says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes was a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a firmament, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Of course, here his face is as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. In verse 2 in chapter 10 says, I read that already. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So here he's showing that the mystery of God is finished with the Gentile world. We're down in the prophetical time of the Gentile world, and the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. And there's seven thunders that John heard, what these thunders, the voice of these thunders said, and he was going to write it down. But the angel told him, don't write it. He said, seal it up and don't write them. So I feel like that, you know, that's something that hadn't been revealed, and it's only going to be revealed in a restored church. After the church is fully restored, right in, God's going to begin to reveal. One thing I would say about it is, seven is the number of complete perfection, and so I think that we're going to hear the message that will finish the work of perfection in us, but I don't think we're ready to receive it. Just like Jesus told his disciples, I have many things to say unto you, but you're not ready to receive them. So I've heard men say, well, the seven thunders were the seven seals or the seven trumpets. He explains what those are. So I just don't believe that they're revealed yet. And he has one foot on the earth and one on the sea. One correlation that I've noticed in the book of Revelations, and I've mentioned it to you several times, that the sea always represents the sea of humanity, but the earth, it seems to me that the earth represents religion. Even the people of God, there's so many places that it shows a difference between that the reference to the earth. I'll give you one right now in Revelation 7. Something I've always meant to do is go back and look up all the references to the earth. In verse 2 of chapter 7, it said, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. He's making a separation there between the earth and the sea. And, of course, the sea of humanity is the ungodly world. But the earth has come out of the sea, and that's that stands out of the sea. The earth stands out of the sea. The whole world's covered with water, or an ungodly, corruptible seed of man, but there's a part that stands out of that God's caused it to rise up out of the sea. I'm just showing that the earth is the people of God saying, verse 3 in chapter 7, hurt not the earth nor the sea, nor the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Trees are here, of course, God, that's God's people too, but I believe they're trees of righteousness, where everything in religion is not righteous. Even though it's been called out, it's still not living a righteous life. But then there's some in the earth, in the sea even. He won't even let the sea be hurt because he's got people out there that he still intends to save before it's over. Let me give you another scripture on the earth. In Revelation 13, by the way, Brother and Sister Durham are gone to California to see. He did get retired and got all his paperwork in, and he wants us to pray for him because he's got he's talked to the Arkansas Board, I guess, of plumbers. And, Board of Health that licensed plumbers. And they're telling him, with his experience and background, that if he can get all of his letters and everything together, the man on the board that talked to him tells him that he thinks he's not only eligible to get his journeyman's license, take his exam for that, but he said, I think you can get your master's license. You've got enough experience that you very possibly would be granted the right to take a test to get your master's license, which would allow him to do takeoffs on jobs, and jobs could be contracted under his master's license. I think you have to have a master's license, isn't that right, to file a permit as a plumber, to get a plumbing job. So that would be a great blessing for him, and it'd make him qualified for a lot more things that would pay a lot more. So remember that in prayer. Also, I meant to mention this before I started. Sister Brittany, Andrew's wife, had a car wreck this morning on the way to, I don't know if she's on her way to church or where she is on her way to. Stagecoach and Colonel Glenn. Well, anyway, they've taken her to the hospital. She's all right, they think, but, you know, they just want to make sure that you don't have an injury, that your adrenaline's not allowing it to show up. So maybe we ought to say a prayer for her right here, right now, and ask God to watch over and cover and help her. Precious Lord, dear God, touch this child of yours, Lord. Protect her, help her, help the doctors, Lord, to find any injury that might be there, and just watch over, work your will in her life, we pray, Father. We give you thanks that she wasn't seriously injured. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in the 13th chapter of Revelations, it starts off showing John saw a beast come up out of the sea, and of course we'll cover this later, but in verse 2 it shows that it was like a leopard, its feet was like a bear, and its mouth was like a lion, and the dragon gave him power. And of course we know this is the papacy, but my point here is his evolvement, that he evolved out of the other dragon powers in the world. The lion, which Rome, we're talking about Rome, here is, he was like a leopard, which was Greece. Rome evolved right out of Greece and overthrew Greece. All of these dragon powers became dragon powers by overthrowing the previous dragon power. And they were all worldly. Oh, that's my wife calling me. I thought, what is this noise? I don't know if she knows I'm in Bible study, so let's see. She was calling me about Brittany. See if she's okay. Okay, well, you can find out for me. So, Rome evolved right out of Greece, which was the leopard, which Daniel 7 explains these beasts. And then the leopard evolved out of the bear, which was Medo-Persia. And Medo-Persia had evolved out of overthrowing Babylon, which was the lion. Okay. It won't. Okay. Yeah. Rachel can go get her. You got your car here? You don't?
Yeah.
Joel can go. He don't know what I'm saying anyway. Exactly. He'll take her. He'll go get her. Joel, la camioneta no trabajo. Yo creo baterías murió.
Entendí.
Okay. Prepara eso. Tú sabes dónde está carga. Okay. The bad deal was, Sister Smith and I mean, Joel and I took off this morning. I don't know why we got in her van, just took off. Left her there with the pickup, which I never have her bring Mom in the pickup. She can't really get up in it. So I called her when we pulled in the driveway and told her, Joel, which is not true. I got in the van, drove it out to the gate, and Joel come running. And anyway, but I told her, I said, you're going to have to talk to this boy. We took off and he's had me take off in your van. Anyway, so she was saying she was going to whip him a bunch of stuff. I don't know what all she said. Okay, so this will play good on the tape, won't it? So these four beasts evolved, you know, out of overthrowing the other powers. And notice they all came up out of the sea. He saw this dragon rise up out of the sea, and it had all these attributes of these others. Okay, but then in the 11th verse, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." And that's why I put this as the United States of America. The United States of America did not evolve, nor has there ever been another evolvement since Rome that overthrew a power. America didn't establish its headship or its becoming a world power by overthrowing Rome. But America fled the Eastern world and came to the Western world, and it came, like it said, it had two horns. Horns are powers in the Bible. And these other dragons had 10 heads and 7 horns, and which shows the authority and the power that they had. But there was 10 horns here, and because that's the 10 provinces of Rome in the 13th chapter. But these two horns that are like a lamb. The United States started off very meek nation, fearing God, lamb-like, which shows the meekness of their fear of God and a reverence towards God. But eventually, she's already speaking like a dragon. She's taking on a voice of a dragon power. And but it evolved out of the earth or out of religion. It did not come out of the sea of ungodly nations, but it came out of God-fearing people that were religious people. There's other places, and we'll cover them as we go, that shows that I think are revealing that the earth, that there's a reason that it separates the earth and the sea here. In the back to the 10th verse now, 10th chapter now, he was standing on the with one foot on the sea and one on the earth. It looks that he still is ruling over religion, and he's still all principality and power is put under him. It's under his feet. And he's going to rule until every tongue confesses, and every knee bows, and that is those that will. There'll be those that won't; they'll be destroyed. But those that will, every person that will submit to him, will come under his authority. And in verse 6 it says, and he swear by him. This is, he's talking, verse 5 shows that it was him standing, and that he swear by him that liveth forever, who created heaven and the things that are in, and earth and the sea, which would be God the Father, that was the source of all creation. Even though Jesus did the work, he was the power that created everything. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. The seventh angel, the seventh trumpet, is going to finish this. That message and that ministry that blows that trumpet will be the restored church, the message of the restored church, and everything's going to be finished. And these seven thunders aren't going to be revealed until then. Nobody's received them yet. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and on the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it'll make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book and out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And of course, yes, John, he's telling him, which he's still got to prophesy from the 11th chapter on. He's still got to finish, go ahead and prophesy. But he ate this book. Of course, we've always used this little scripture to show how the Word of God, you know, that when you eat it, it's sweet like honey. There's a proverb that says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much of it as sufficient for thee, lest thou vomit it. And honey is so rich, if you eat too much of it, you'll get sick. But it is, you know, I mean, it sure is good if you don't eat too much of it. And it's likened unto the Word of God. But if you try, I've watched this in people's lives. I've seen people come in. In fact, I'm a example of this. I tried, you know, I thought I'm going to I'm going to get all of this as fast and as heartily as I can get it. And I tried to do that, but it couldn't be established in my life as fast as I wanted to be established, and I couldn't keep it. You have to give up any of the Word of God that's not established in you. You can try your best to live this whole book when you first hear it, but you cannot. It's impossible for you to live above what has actually become a part of your character. And the rest of it, you'll have to give it up, and you'll have to get the rest of it later. When a preacher preaches, it sure sounds good, sounds easy, you know. But when you receive that and you get it down, but you start getting it down in your spiritual digestive tract, and you just can't digest it all. You just can't. That's one of the reasons right there that we need to be very careful about being judges, setting ourselves up in a judgment seat or in a the seat of the scornful. That's a religious spirit. When we start trying to judge our brothers and sisters when they're struggling and having trouble. But if we really have charity or the love of God, we'll be like Jesus. We'll have compassion on them. We'll see that you know, they just hadn't got all this yet. And of course, some, you know, they some people have received enough and they willfully turn against it. And the Lord, but the Lord chastises those whom He loves. We don't have to chastise them. We can just love them, and we're not. God doesn't call us to compromise with sin or unrighteousness, but He asks us to leave the judging of His children up to Him. Other than as a corporate group, sometimes judgment has to be meted out by the leadership, but they can't judge anything till God judges. We believe that scripture that says, judge nothing till Jesus comes. That's not talking about when He comes to get His bride, but it's talking about until He comes in judgment, until Jesus comes and judges a matter. That's why we got to be very careful about rising up against a ministry that God has set in office. See, I told somebody this recently. I said, if I made a decision to rise up against the leading men in this body and go against them, and all those men were counseling with me, and God set them in a seat of authority, which I know He has. If I didn't believe that God set the leaders that's in this body in authority, I wouldn't be here. I'd leave this. But I believe with all my heart that God put these men, and if there's some of them there and God didn't put them there, they won't stay there. So I have confidence in Jesus' headship in all of this. But if I rise up against that and say, I don't believe any of them are right, and I think I'm more right than all of them, then what do I have to correct my life? Who am I going to submit to? How are you people going to have any protection if you follow a man that won't submit his life to authority? Now, we have to wait. Just like David. David knew Saul was wrong, but he could not cut his skirt off. He couldn't raise his hand against the anointed. He had to wait on God to judge him. He was already anointed to be king. And God may already have showed some men, I'm going to use you in leadership, or they may feel like God's anointed them or called them for that, or maybe even they've been told that. But they better not set out on their own will with their own strength to try to bring it to pass. They better wait on God, because if we rise up against the authority of the government that's here, then we don't have any government. That's what that boils down to. That's why I'm very afraid of a man or any men, any group of men that would try to overthrow or move outside of the counsel of our leaders. Now, I'm not saying they always do right. I'm just saying I believe and trust Jesus that He'll correct them and chastise them. That's what God asked the women to do, submit to your husbands. It doesn't say when they're right. It says submit to them. And if you do that as unto the Lord, then God's obligated to protect you. And I think that's how we have to serve God and serve His order. I think, though, here in the 10th chapter, God is actually telling John, you eat this little book that I've opened unto you, and it's going to make you sick of the things I'm going to show you that's going to be ahead. It's going to be sweet, you know, for you to get all this revelation. But when you begin to realize what all's going to take place, even from the time right now I've showed you to out in the future, it's going to be sickening, John. That's why I started this thing off showing you a sevenfold light in a restored church so you wouldn't lose focus of what's in the end, even though there's a lot of judgment, a lot of problems that's going to take place between now and then. All right, Sister Sister McGowan's not here, but boy, she'd be thankful. She might even be a little proud of me if I let us out this early. But I think it's a good place to stop because the 11th chapter starts, it regresses and goes back to the church falling away. And so we've come up to a point here in the sixth seal, and he's showing us what's going to take place in the seventh seal, but right now he's fixing to regress and go back to the early church and show again how the church fell away in the 11th and 12th chapters, and then begin to show the involvement of the dragon of the power of Rome in the 13th chapter, and then 14th he'll take us on more down in the end. Yeah, in the ninth chapter, we're in the sixth seal. We're in the sixth trumpet. I'm sorry. We're in the sixth. We just finished up the ninth chapter, which was the sixth trumpet that shows the Reformation finishing up. It shows the whole Reformation. So the next thing is a restored church. So that's what he's seeing in the 10th chapter. He's seeing that the seventh trumpet is going to finish the work of God in the end of the Gentile world. There will be seven thunders that can't be revealed until we get there. And yeah, you're going to see some things that's going to be bitter to you. It's going to be pretty difficult, some of the things God showed John. And I think, see, John, remember this, in the first chapter, this is the revelation that God gave Jesus Christ, that he sent his angel to show it to John. So they didn't even have all this in the early church. They knew Jesus was coming. They knew there would be a Gentile world, just like right now we keep talking about the new earth, but we don't have no detail to tell you about it. We just know there's going to be a new earth last 1,000 years. But somebody, after the restored church in the Gentile time, somebody's going to get something, probably in these seven thunders, that's going to give great detail of what's going to take place through the 1,000 years that's never been revealed yet. Yes, it is. He's writing it. It's for us. It's written for John. God showed this to him and wanted him to write it down because down in the end of this world, God wanted somebody to see there was a prophecy that unveiled and revealed what was going to take place in the end of the Gentile world. And God's just really now revealing it. Forgive me, but I'll have to say this. I think we've really just had a pig trail through the book of Revelation. We really haven't had a good understanding of it, but God's opening the book up and letting us see more clearly, which helps us to see the purpose and plan of God as it unfolds. All right, Sister McGowan. Yes, Sister Aunt Susie. Yeah, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says that that the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. There'll be a resurrection right there in the seventh trumpet, but it's going to take a restored church to bring that about. There'll be a sevenfold light in the seventh trumpet. Right now we're in the sixth trumpet. We're in the sixth trumpet, which is the sixth trumpet is a revel. It's a restoring or a reformation. It's the reformation of the church. It started with men like Martin Luther, and it's still ongoing. God's still restoring the church, and until we get a restored church, we're not going to be able to have a sevenfold light, or the seventh trumpet's not going to sound until the church is restored, and that's going to bring about bride members. There'll be a resurrection that's going to, if people died down through the dark ages, serving God to the best of their ability, they'll rise just like they rose in after Jesus' resurrection, and they'll finish their course and make the bride. Oh yeah, the dragon, you know, I think right now, I think America is the dragon. America will have to go down. God will have to judge this nation. If he don't, he'll have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and repent to them. Because this nation's going into homosexuality and every other kind of damnable, abominable sin that there is. God will judge this nation. You know, we right now we've got a leader that says we're no longer a Christian people, a Christian nation. This nation's rejecting God. And he's not doing that because he's bringing something new. The people want to hear that. The majority of these people want to hear this. And this nation's going on. It's going to speak as a dragon. And there's going to be, a lot of devastation. But at the same time, God's going to finish the work with his people in the church. God's right on time in both places. God is in charge of what's going on in the world. He's controlling what they're doing. He sets up kings and tears them down. God puts wicked kings in to deal with wicked people. And God's people have to suffer with it, but God protects them in it. You know, so yeah, we're living in a real... It's a dire time for those that don't know God. But if you know God, you're living in a time where God's fixing to give the church more than they've ever had. It's a great time to be living for the people of God. Just trust him and know. Stay under his covering and he'll protect you. You can't go wrong serving God. And we're going to behold things that no other group of people for nearly 2,000 years